Executive Board.
KBC English Service.
The Executive Board. Economic analysis, perspectives, and debates on KBC English Service.
KBC Nairobi.
Wamoi Masila sits in the executive room with experts and decision makers as they share their perspectives on the economy.
Kenya is working on scaling up ties with Southeast Asian economic tigers. The most recent country from the Southeast Asian group to sign various agreements to increase trade is the populous Indonesia. Kenya is seeking the support of Indonesia to penetrate the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, a fast-growing trade bloc in Asia. Indonesia is expected to support Kenya in achieving self-sufficiency in edible oils by implementing extensive palm oil, sunflower oil and soybean farming initiatives. Of course, export of meat business, among others. On the executive board, we examine what it takes to invest in Indonesia and Kenya. The executive board is a three-part interview which looks at challenges, solutions, and areas of growth in every sector of the economy. Our executive is Indonesian investor from the Netherlands. Our executive is Lizolette Hedrick. Welcome to the executive board.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure and an honor to be here. Lizolette Hedrick is a girl or a lady from the Netherlands that grew up in Kenya. So I was living here from my third to my sixth in 1981 till 1983. But currently I'm living in Indonesia, where I've started a factory to manufacture household water filters that empower households to purify their water in their house to make it safe to drink. Come from the Netherlands, but for the last 16 years I've been living in Indonesia. I studied rural development sociology at the University of Wageningen in the Netherlands. And then I specialized in rural development and empowerment of rural women through microcredit systems. But actually my first job was in Indonesia to do relief aid after the tsunami, which destroyed one area in the northern tip of Indonesia. So I came there to do relief aid. That was in 2007. So I have a master degree in rural development, and then I did an advanced master also in advanced development studies. What really motivates me is that during my trips to the countryside of Kenya, I met this lady called Gladys. She was near Shongroi, and she showed me the well or the pond. Basically, it was like a pond that she used to get her water from. And that water in that pond basically looks the same as my tea with milk that I have standing in front of me. It was brown. And Gladys told me that she drinks that water directly. And she even gives that water to her children because she doesn't have any other water source. So in Kenya, so many mothers suffer from the lack of safe drinking water in their house. So every morning when I wake up, I think, how can I empower more mothers like Gladys that are suffering so much of the lack of safe drinking water in their house? We have already served over 600,000 people globally with access to safe, affordable water in their house. But in 2030, we aim to reach 10 million people globally. And basically, when I think of mothers like Gladys or mothers in Indonesia that suffer from this lack of safe drinking water, that's what motivates me. Because water is the source of life. And, you know, if you have sorted your water issue in your house and you're sure that your children can have a free flow of safe drinking water and you don't have to be worried about that water quality, you know, you can move on and start doing other activities. So basically, that's what I think of every morning.
This is the Executive Board. Economic analysis, perspectives, and debates on KBC English Service with Wamoi Masila.
This is the Executive Board program on KBC English Service, aired every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. And our focus is to look at the challenges, solutions to the challenges, and investment or areas of growth in different sectors of the economy so that we can empower our audience to make informed decisions. You've talked about your profile And as I said, this is a three-part interview. We now move on to the first part of this interview. As an investor back in Indonesia, as well as here in Kenya, you're also from the Netherlands. How would you describe the business environment back in Indonesia and also Kenya?
Yeah, it's very interesting because I think the countries have a lot of common, but then there's also many differences. Indonesia, it's an open-minded society, but they're also not like the early adopters. Let's put it that way. So in Kenya, I see a lot of early adopters. I see a lot of entrepreneurship. I see a lot of bravoure as well. And people that are willing to take risks, people that are interested in innovations, learning about new products, learning about technologies. Like Kenya is the country of M-Pesa. In Indonesia, mobile payment is only possible in like the main urban cities, and then actually it's only the upper class that's using it. But the rural communities, they're not so quick in adapting these technologies. The rural population in Indonesia is not so tech savvy as the Kenyan population. So people might have a feature phone in rural areas in Indonesia, but they will not do like online purchases, and they will not be able to pay using mobile money. So that, I think, is the biggest difference in the business context. Because of that M-Pesa here in Kenya, now it really facilitates Lipa Pole Pole, payment in installments, and you know, it's also much more transparent because you can avoid all the cash payments. And I think that, for me as an entrepreneur, that's one of the basic differences in doing business in Indonesia and in Kenya.
Maybe we would say the Indonesians are risk averse. They want to be sure, do slowly, hati-hati, is that
hati-hati,
term?
Yes. It's it's Indonesian word. Yeah, in Kenyan would be pole-pole.
Yes.
Which is funny because you also have to say it twice. In Indonesia, you also have to say hati-hati.
Hati-hati.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe risk averse. Yeah, maybe yes. That's a better word. Yeah.
In terms of the challenges, you who is already an investor into entrepreneurship, look at the taxation regime in both countries.
Yeah, then Kenya becomes a little bit more challenging, especially the last season. It does not only affect us at the business, but I see also that the households that we want to empower and that we want to serve now also struggle with this tax regime, because basically the money they can spend now is becoming less and less, and they have to make much more thorough decisions on whether they're going to buy sugar or they're going to buy milk. And then they will put investments in the household water filters, they will put on hold to see if, you know, when the times come better. So I think it impacts the whole business community here in Kenya, actually, this new tax regime.
Things to do with other permits or the legal requirements for you to set up a business here?
No. So actually, I was really positively surprised how easy it was to set up a business here. And I think the Kenyan government has really enabled foreign investors to start a business here and get all the permits in time. It's a very transparent process, and most of the things can be done online. Big compliments on that investment climate. I think in that respect, Kenya is much easier than in Indonesia.
How long did it take you to set up a business? You've been in business here in Kenya for close to 1 year. How has it been?
I think all the documentations with regard to the business licenses and all these forms, I think it took us like 3 months. Longest was actually the KYC policy of the bank. That was what kept on lingering on and on and on.
What are some of the challenges perhaps you're encountering as you move along with your business?
It's the dollar, the taxes. We see the purchasing power of Kenyan society decreasing. So yeah, that makes us very concerned. The increased interest rates, that are challenges as well. But I think that's not something specific for my business. I think it just affects the country as a whole. But it's the main challenge we are facing at the moment.
This is the Executive Board. Economic analysis, perspectives and debates on KBC English Service with Wamoi Masila.
This is Executive Board on KBC English Service. And as I said earlier on, the Executive Board is a three-part interview. Our focus is on challenges affecting each and every person, our audience who are listening to us, the challenges, the solutions to the problems, as well as looking at investment or areas of growth in different sectors of the economy. And our executive today on the Executive Board is Lizzo Late. Hedrick, or Liza. She's from Netherlands, currently living in Indonesia. She's also been in Kenya. She's grown up here in Kenya. She's had a lot of different environments. In this second part of the interview, we remember just a month ago in August, Indonesian President Joko Widodo was here in Kenya to sign quite a number of agreements, memorandum of understandings on how to improve trade between the two countries and also help Kenya penetrate the Southeast Asian market. How is that going to impact you as an investor?
Yeah, I hope it will help us. I was really excited to hear that President Joko Widodo, or but you call him Jokowi,
yes.
Yeah, came and brought a visit to Kenya. He even pushed for a bilateral trade agreement, which I could certainly welcome, because it would make the trade between Indonesia and Kenya much easier. And I think both countries has a lot of added value to exchange. And what I also really like is that, I forgot the exact date, there was a Bandung conference was held in the 1960s, actually to combine all the non-allied forces, so the Southeast Asian countries and the African countries, to become stronger together. And I think this visit of Jokowi now is really in line of that spirit, that there should be much more south-to-south collaboration and export and trade agreement. So I think that's a very welcome development.
Back to your business, sustainability of your business, the growth of your business. What are you doing to address some of the challenges you mentioned in different environments you're operating in?
Basically, we'll just continue business as usual. But so we first, when we started here in Kenya, we were really targeting the lower income rural households in North Rift area, South Rift, and around Mount Kenya region. But now, as the cost of living are increasing so much, we'll also start catering more towards the urban population, because due to those increased prices, the cost of drinking water will become much and much higher. Households are paying like 200 shilling or even 300 shilling for 20 liters, assuming that they use like 2 of these gallons in a week, which is already 400 shilling. Now, at that times 4, it's already 1,000 shilling for 600 in a month. Now you do that times 12, it's already like 160,000 shilling they're spending just on their drinking water. That's just way too much. So now we want to introduce our water filter to them that now empowers households to purify their tap water or their borehole water and make it safe to drink, so they can save on these costs of these expensive water bottles.
How are you dealing with competition? Because in that area, you're not the only one with that kind of business here in Kenya.
Yeah, that's true. But we have been tested by the WHO, and there are no other products currently on the market in Kenya that have been tested by the WHO for bacteria removal. So we want to be very transparent on what our product does and what it doesn't. So we have already this certificate from the WHO. And besides, we have all other certificates are there on our website. So I think we are ready to face that competition.
Expansion program you have for your business?
To date, we have reached around 50,000 people in Kenya with access to safe drinking water. And by 2027, we aim to reach 1 million Kenyans to reach safe drinking water in their house. So that's our expansion plan.
This is the Executive Board on KBC English Service, and our executive is an Indonesian investor, also of course born in Holland, the CEO and founder of a water company, purifying company. Her name is Lizolette Hedrick, or Liza. On the Executive Board, we examine what it takes to invest in Indonesia and Kenya, requirements, challenges, and available opportunities.
This is the Executive Board. Economic analysis, perspectives, and debates on KBC English Service with Wamoy Masila.
Let's get back to Indonesia again. How was it for you? What did it take you to come up with your own business in Indonesia?
I think it was just a bold idea, and that idea emerged because I was living in Banda Aceh, which was destroyed by the tsunami. And my house, we only had a borehole. We only had a well for our water. We had no connection to the water service provider or a water utility. And that well had a very high iron content, so it looked a bit like tea and it was dirty. And we couldn't boil that because basically when you boil, you know, the water stays brown. So we wanted to purify that water, and we looked around for a water filter and we found none. The other option for us would have been to buy the bottled water, but the government didn't have any quality standards for the bottled water. And we often would read that that water was actually contaminated with E. coli bacteria. So we looked around for a filter, and then my husband, he bought a couple of filters back from Brasilia, which we then put together for our own use, because we thought, like, this is our problem. But then our friends and neighbors said, but you know what? My well is also dirty. And my well is also dirty. And then we realized, well, if our friends and neighbors also have dirty water, actually there are 270 million Indonesians, Indonesia is like the fourth biggest country in the world in terms of population, that do not have purified water from the tap in their house. So I come from the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, we have safe water everywhere. You can go to a bus station, to a school, anywhere you can drink water from the tap. Even we flush our toilets with mineral drinking water. So it took a while in Indonesia to understand, like, you know, the huge problem that we're facing is that nobody has safe drinking water in their house. So households are spending too much on boiling the water. Women have to look for fuel wood to boil that water. And then still they're not 100% sure that water is safe to drink. So when we realized that our neighbors and friends actually were suffering from the same problem that we were facing, we were like, well, what if we can develop a water filter that now can empower mothers to purify their own water and make it safe to drink, and thereby empowering the mothers to save time on looking for fuel wood, to save money on buying gas or buying fuel wood, to save money on medical bills because they see their children suffer from diarrhea, and basically to empower mothers to purify their water at the point of use. So that's when Nazava was born, and we realized that our problem was actually a national problem. And then we decided to start manufacturing water filters that would be affordable and attractive for any household, whether it's urban or lower income rural households, to purify their water. That's when it all started. But then at that time, we just started. And then we got our first investors. We moved from the little top of Sumatra Island. We moved to the main island in Indonesia, which is called Java. And there, then we got our first investors. We started building our factory and we started expanding our factory. And then we started exporting. So to date, we have exported to over 32 different countries, impacted over 600,000 people globally. So yeah, it all went actually pole pole. And I could have never imagined when I started on this journey that I would be ending up at KBC Radio today telling you about how to be an entrepreneur and a CEO. That's what I never thought it would end up here, but hey, it's been a long and interesting journey.
Great. Let's move on to the third part of this interview, the final part of this interview, the executive board, where we look at the untapped opportunities. And as an investor, you started pole pole, hati hati, until you are where you are today across the world with different, you know, cultures. What have you discovered to be some of the untapped opportunities back in Indonesia that Kenyans can take advantage of, and even here in Kenya that Indonesians can take part?
The untapped opportunity is, you know, if I take your question a little bit wider, there's 4.4 billion people that do not have treated water in their house. Even very often, water from that comes from the pipe, because of maintenance issues and leaking pipes, very often the water in the house that comes from the pipe in the house is contaminated. And many households that depend from a well or a river or rainwater actually also suffer from contaminated water. So the big opportunity I see is that there's 4.4 billion people that still suffer from untreated water in their house. And if you look into Kenya alone, every year, over 33,000 people die of diarrhea. This equals 1.4 crashed Boeing 747s each week. Yeah, 1 week gone, a crashed Boeing 747. Yeah, and this is a silent death that has to stop. Yeah, because many people are not aware about that their water is contaminated and that it can make them ill. and that they can suffer so much from the contaminated water. And as a result of this contaminated water, also 1.8 million children in Kenya alone, under the age of 5, are stunted. And stunting means that your body is too small and your weight is too small compared to your peers. And if you are exposed to stunting in the long term, it will affect your brains. This means that those 1.8 million children will not have a prosperous career like you and I have. Their options on the labor market will be very limited. So this has really long-term consequences for the prosperity and the GDP growth of a country such as Kenya. And Indonesia has exactly the same. In Indonesia, it's even 8 million children that are stunted. That equals half of the population of the Netherlands. This is really an opportunity to improve people's health and improve the health of children and their well-being so that all children can have a prosperous career and can seize all the opportunities and that they are not hampered because their mother has no access to safe water in their house. So that's the opportunity that I see not only in Indonesia and Kenya, but actually globally.
Another challenge the world is grappling with is unemployment, especially among the productive age, the young people. Having traversed a different environment, as you scan through this environment, looking at possible opportunities for anyone to invest in, like yourself, how you began, what is your advice to a young person, perhaps who's just finished university or who's looking for a job? How is she or he supposed to position himself or herself to benefit from vast opportunities across different environments?
My first advice would be to be proactive. Look up LinkedIn, which are the new companies that are entering the Kenyan market? What are new technologies that are entering the Kenyan market? Approach these companies, look up their profiles, follow them on LinkedIn, follow them on Facebook, follow them on Instagram, follow like all the social media challenge. There is an opportunity. The companies will announce those vacancies also online. Then write a very good but original application letter. I've seen too much application letters that from a just a new graduate now is saying that they have like excellent leadership skills and they put a lot of blah blah in those letters. So I would really suggest to be modest and acknowledge your capabilities, but also maybe your areas for growth, and write an original personal application or motivation letter, and show how proactive and creative you are. Do not wait and see until an opportunity comes to you, but really seek out opportunities and then you will be rewarded for that. In Kenya, we are expanding, so we're always looking for people that would like to introduce our product to community. So we're always looking for safe water experts, as we call them, which are sales agents. We are looking now expanding into rural area, urban areas, where we are seeking promoters that now will introduce our products to the urban population. We are also planning to start manufacturing here in Kenya. And then we will also need increased labor force that can help us with the manufacturing and assembling of the water filters. So yeah, please follow us, and there will be many opportunities will be posted on our our media channels.
Yes, how soon are you planning to start a manufacturing plant in Kenya?
I'm still fundraising, so it depends a bit on the investment climate for Kenya. But hopefully we can close the funding end of this year, and then we can start the manufacturing probably quarter one or quarter two of next year.
Your parting shot.
Water is the source of life, and every household has the right of access to safe, affordable water. So let's all join forces to ensure safe, affordable water for everyone, everywhere. Thank you so much.
Great. A very great point to end the program, the Executive Board here on KBC English Service. Our guest was Lizolette Hedrick, or Liza, living in Indonesia, born in the Netherlands, and again, operating in the Kenyan environment. Thank you once more for taking part on the Executive Board.
Karibu sana. It was a big pleasure.
Apart from karibu sana in Swahili, how do we say karibu sana in the Netherlands, in Holland?
In Netherlands we say dankjewel. In Indonesia we say terima kasih.
Sama-sama. Special thanks to all those who participated in the production of the Executive Board. Join us next Thursday at 8:30 p.m. and on podcast at www.kbc.co.ke.
Wamoi Masila sits in the executive room with experts and decision makers as they share their perspectives on the economy.
KBC English Service.
The Executive Board is also available as a podcast on www.kbc.co.ke.
KBC Nairobi.